Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
This week, Danny and Dusty think everything's super.
Oh, it's huge.
It was an absolute unit.
This is Danny and Dusty on Super Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Uncle burning crap.
Big butts back.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Monday. Happy Super Week.
We're going to blow that out immediately.
Yeah.
What in the world is this?
I don't know what is happening. My goodness gracious almighty. What a weekend we had. The Super Bowl. The reigning national champion has lost both of its coordinators, mm-hmm. including an offensive coordinator that was a head coach. And in the NFL and college, and he's going back to the NFL to coach under Pete Carroll.
Let's say, it's a one Pac-12 legend going to coach with another Pac-12 legend.
And that's like eighth on the list with Chip Kelly going back to the Raiders. The Super Bowl is like fifth or sixth. The NBA just said, yeah, we're going to act. No. Mm-mm. Nico Harrison and Rob Pelinka said, nah, we're about to get drunk here.
Oh, my God.
Let's get weird. What happened this weekend? What happened this weekend?
I am 40 years old. I am a grown man, and I still have not been able to wrap my arms around this firmly. This was a where were you when moment.
Yeah.
This is the biggest sports transaction in my life. This was more surprising than Jordan retiring for baseball.
The most stunning part of this is that when the trade went down, it was like in the waning moments of NBA's slate that was going on. Nobody knew. That Luka Doncic was available. And they pulled the trigger. And to say the Dallas Mavericks got fleeced in this is the world's largest understatement.
We're going to do studies on this at some point in time, you know, as we get further and further away from it. But as of right now, Nico Harrison is the guy who traded Luka Doncic. But he didn't trade him for some magic beans. Like, the return might be worse than magic beans. And Anthony Davis is a top 75 player of all time. Luka Doncic is heading towards being a top 15 player of all time. There's a staggering difference. One's 6 years younger.
But where's Max Christie?
Oh, God. I had a front office executive. Like, well, Max Christie's kind of a first-round pick.
Okay.
And I shut that down immediately. I'm like, don't even come close to doing that. I'm like, no. We are not doing that with him. No. The idea now, there are some reports, and I've heard from some people that despite Nico Harrison saying that he only called the Lakers, that he did, in fact, call one other organization. That he did call the Bucks.
Oh.
And they were not interested.
In Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
All right. If you don't know what we're talking about, on Saturday, the Lakers acquired Luka Doncic, injured Maxi Kleber, mm-hmm. Markieff Morris.
Again.
And they sent away Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a single first-round pick in 2029.
Yeah.
For some reason, the Jazz were in it.
And they didn't know what the deal was until 30 minutes before the deal.
They acquired Jalen Hood.
Jalen Hood, Schifino, and 2 second-round picks to act as a facilitator.
And sent $55,000 cash to each the Lakers and Mavs, which I was surprised. I thought they got rid of that.
No, it's still there. It's okay. Up to $3
million. Oh, so
you have a pot of $3 million each year.
$55,000? What is that doing?
Probably covering the physicals. Something along those lines.
But they got involved in that too. So that is our three-way deal. That really is a two-way deal. That, but it doesn't make sense in the idea that, like, we say often, like, this is a surprise. The idea that that could be hyperbole is thrown out the door when you hear Luka Doncic is furious that he is no longer a Dallas Maverick. His dad has now come out and told ESPN that he didn't deserve this and to be traded from the Mavericks to the Lakers. He wanted to be a guy that was in the city, a one-stop guy, just like Dirk Nowitzki, who he's looked up to and is seen as used as a mentor over his career. He wanted to be just that in Dallas. They go to a NBA Finals last year, and this happens 8 months later. Stunning. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's stunning to see that this is what has transpired and how quickly all this played out.
There's so many different ways, and we're going to slice each and every one of them because there's so many different things to talk about, from the, Nico Harrison's press conference to the transaction itself to how they landed on the deal that they did to why they didn't shop Luka. Like, Nico's press conference alone deserves probably two segments because it's absolutely insane.
Well, three questions, and then he's like, all right, Jason, you got this. It's like, whoa.
And those three questions that he took, the answers that he gave were unhinged. Like, it was just like, what is happening here? Like, how on earth did this become a thing? Like, I don't, sitting there in press row during Blazers Suns, that transaction breaks, and I damn near yelled out, what the bleep? And everyone kind of looked at me, I go, check your notifications. And everyone in the media section did. And we all kind of stood up and looked at each other like, huh? Like, it was a lot of puzzling and
Well, Devin Booker said it best, who is in Portland at the time, where he thought it was Luka Garza.
Yeah. Like, wait, what? Because he heard Luka. And he was like, wait, what? But we all kind of looked at each other. We shrugged our shoulders. He got hacked. Especially when this is for real.
Yeah.
Because we've seen that literal thing happen with other newsbreakers before.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, no, this is for real, blah, blah, blah. Then I think it was either Holdall or Hyken. One of them said, Wojcie's got it. Dan Wojcie of LA. And, everyone's soul left their body. Yeah. Like, jaws dropped, and we just looked at each other and we went, oh my God, this is real. Because nobody's going to hack Dan.
No.
Like, that's not who you...
You don't go for Shams, then Dan.
Yeah, no. Like, yeah. No, look, if you did have it like those two hacked and ready to go, that'd be a great play. But then the ESPN notification comes up, and we all just kind of in unison was like, this is actually happening. And then it was just a lot, like, nobody watched the game. I mean, nobody even in the building watched the game. Like, even the players were looking at, like, players were borrowing coaches' phones.
That's crazy.
Because they can't have a phone on the sideline. And they're just sitting there going, oh my God, like, a fan, as free throws are happening, goes and flashes his phone up to Damian Lee and goes, Luka got traded to the Lakers. And you can read his lips where he goes, no bleeping way. He goes, Luka Doncic, and he looks over at Zach Zarba, the lead official, and goes, Luka got traded to the Lakers. And Zarba kind of shrugs his shoulders like, all right, free throws, like, what do you want me to do, dog? But, I mean, like, you see it spread to the Blazers bench, and you see Jeremy Grant's eyes get even bigger. Matisse just looks like he stuck his finger in a light socket. DA is just shaking his head over and over and over. Like, the prevailing thing that came out of the locker room after that game was fear. Legitimate fear of, if he can be traded,
anybody can
be traded. And I think that's something we'll talk about a little bit later. Like, what this did is a reset to the NBA. It was insane.
Yep. I mean, it was stunning, to say the least. And from the lopsidedness of the trade to a legitimate star in his prime awaiting a supermax deal and a supermax extension, which is also another thing that what usually happens is the guy signs the Supermax and then he gets dealt. That ain't going to happen, and that's not happening here. This is so bizarre on so many fronts that, and then the fact that Luka's pissed about it, Luka's family's pissed about it, the fans in Dallas are pissed about it, and there's also a lot of Laker fans who are happy at the fact that they've got a 25-year-old Luka Doncic that they're pairing with LeBron James, but going, is this going to be enough? Because they don't have a big.
No, I mean,
Maxi Kleber's hurt.
Meanwhile, the Mavs have all of the bigs.
All the bigs.
There's an interesting question right now, and I think this is a larger scope question for later, but I just want people to kind of think about this. How many players are in the NBA right now are fans more of a fan of the player over the team? Because this Mavs team is a team that has been about the Mavs. It's not just Dirk during that era. It was Kidd. It was Terry. Like, it was Marion. Like, it was, yeah. The era of teams has kind of fallen to the wayside to a certain extent. And I wonder how much of that was an issue for the Mavs here, about it becoming all about Luka, a guy who has been, and again, I am not excusing this. This is the stuff that has come out afterwards, both publicly and privately. Luka was 270 pounds, and you don't get that way by just eating fast food.
Well, there is a, with Luka Doncic, there were
that
red
sounds
flags.
Sounds like a challenge.
Mm. There were red flags there. And look, Brian Windhorst, this popped up after the trade thing happened. Mm-hmm. Remember after the Celtics sealed the deal this past year, and he said, the winners are popping champagne in one locker room, and Luka Doncic is not. And until Luka figures out how to be a pro, mm-hmm. and how to take care of himself and to approach a season, he will never be popping the champagne bottles. Mm-hmm. Like that clip resurfaced because that was immediately following the NBA Finals. And that's,
he went in.
That's what Windhorst went to. Yeah. He was doing a stand up in the arena, mm-hmm. doing that on SportsCenter. And I remember everybody's like, whoa. Well, Windhorst has since clarified. It's like, dude, that NBA Finals wasn't like, hey, I saw something and I'm just going to get upset. He said that was the third time that he has seen that, mm-hmm. in his career covering Luka Doncic. And it goes back to when he was in Slovenia, mm-hmm. when he was coming up and playing in Eurobasket tournaments and stuff like that. Did it twice where he cost his team chances to win titles. And he said, no, what we saw at the finals was me going over the edge and saying, no, I don't. You fool me once, shame on you.
Because
fool me twice,
so
shame on me.
Like, right? That's, you care because the talent is otherworldly.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you care.
And now I think we're seeing that with the Dallas Mavericks. Like, Nico Harrison and company finally said, all right, we are with Brian Windhorst now. And to your point, are you a fan of Luka or are you a fan of the Mavericks?
Of which they might not have any fans either way right now.
If Anthony Davis comes out and he puts on a show where he's not having to play the five.
He got all the bigs now.
He's got all the bigs.
They only have one guard on the roster, but hey.
He can play a lot, and he and Kyrie Irving put on a show, and Klay Thompson can just sit in the corner and say, ball, ball, ball. Mm-hmm. And they knock down, he knocks down a buttload of threes, which he isn't really doing because he's aging Klay Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
But if they come out and they start rattling off wins, do those Mavericks fans come right back?
I know a lot of Mavericks fans, and I know a lot of folks that cover that team.
Dude.
It is very much bleep that team right now.
Oh, absolutely.
They are.
Absolutely.
I would not be surprised if you saw like a damn near empty arena when they come home.
I wouldn't doubt that one bit. But I wonder how long that lasts if they win. Because people love a winner.
You're not wrong, especially in that town.
People, yeah, people love a winner.
But they are livid right now.
Like, they should be, man.
I mean, it's one thing, like, we went through that here in a sense with Dame, but it was over 89 days. Theirs was in the middle of the night, basically. It just happened.
Yep.
There's no cycles of grief. It's immediately.
You got one first round pick.
And 31, about to be 32 year old Anthony Davis.
Who's always injured, in his prime was always injured. But on the flip side of that, We have been sitting here, and Portland fans know this. You have one of the best players in the NBA. And Damian Lillard wasn't to the level of Luka Doncic.
No.
But we had Damian Lillard here for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a front office just sit on their hands, not really build a contender around him at all.
Whereas Mavericks
did.
They chose to.
And they went all in.
Took risks.
And they did it last year at the deadline even. And they acquired everything, whether it was Gafford,
PJ
Washington. Yep. They got those guys and they said, we're gearing up. And they fell short and they read the room. Would you rather have a front office that is proactive or one that just sits there and sits on their hands? Which is the other thing, you know? Like, I mean, there's two sides of this too, where you could say, we have seen these trades in professional sports across the landscape of all sports, right? Where we've said one team has gotten fleeced and they absolutely 100% did. We've also seen it where initially we go, that team got fleeced and they end up winning more than mm-hmm. the other team does.
I don't know how the Mavs win out of this. The Mavs would have to win a title this year. A title this year.
They ain't doing that.
And even if they did, I think a lot of Mavs fans would say it feels hollow.
I just look at it.
Because there's no identity. Really? There's no relationship with this team.
I think they would change it really quickly, I think.
I don't think so. Talking to the folks that I've talked that
I know, but we're in the immediacy of it now. And like, they're not going to win a title because here's the other issue is that if you're sending Luka off to L.A. because you feel like he isn't fully committed, you brought in Anthony Davis to play with Kyrie freaking Irving. Which, like, that's the answer?
Which, 10 years ago, man, that would have been a hell of a team.
But, I mean, goodness gracious.
Former LeBron running mates.
Okay, but now you're essentially saying, all right, Kyrie, you've checked your crazy for a long time now. There's nobody to keep him in check. Mm-mm. Nobody to keep him
and
in check.
And he's got a contract that's coming up, and you don't think he has leverage now?
It's wild.
And Klay Thompson went to Dallas to play with Luka.
All right, let's start breaking it down then. This is baffling. It's confusing. We need to dive into all of the tentacles that are this.
Because there's just so much.
And I think where we got to start, how this trade came to be, and why in the world did Nico Harrison say the things he did? Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, Luka Doncic is a Laker. I'm furious about this because the Lakers, Nico Harrison went to Tigard High School. I have questions on whether he can be an Oregonian anymore.
And worked at Nike for 20 years.
Yeah, but my questions are, are you an Oregonian anymore? I'm going to rip that right away.
He's most infamous Oregonian now.
When you trade Anthony Davis and Max Christie in a single first round pick, singular first round pick for Luka Doncic and Maxi Kleber. What is going on here?
Well,
and it happens in the middle of the night. There was the reports, and you said this in the opening segment, that he wasn't shopped around, but apparently Nico Harrison did reach out to one other team.
Mm-hmm. And it was the Milwaukee Bucks is what's been reported. So now ESPN is running another story where it was just the Lakers, just the Lakers, just the Lakers, just the Lakers. And I'm just like, okay.
And this goes back to those 20 years that he was at Nike.
Yeah, where he was, he worked directly with Kobe Bryant, and Rob Pelinka was Kobe Bryant's agent. Mm-hmm. And the reason Rob Pelinka has a job with the Lakers still is because he was Kobe Bryant's agent. Like, that is the thing, that Jeannie Buss still sees a little bit of Kobe Bryant in him. And no level of incompetence is able to overcome just how sweet that sweet, sweet geography of Los Angeles is. Because, yet again, for no reason other than geography, the Los Angeles Lakers have the most upside-down superstar trade in the history of the league.
I don't even think geography has anything to do with it.
Well, I'm talking about that organization. Like, the reason that organization is what it is because of where they are.
It is malpractice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how you could honestly look at that trade and say,
this is good.
This is what, yeah, 25-year-old, five-time All-NBA in his prime, just went to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. This is a trade that makes sense for us, and we're getting value in return. I do not see it. I cannot believe that
in
anybody.
In conference, too. For all of the, well, what, you didn't send him to OKC or Houston or San Antonio because they're in conference. I'm like, so are the Lakers!
The idea that this would happen because of a relationship that those two forged with Kobe Bryant, and the fact that Nico Harrison was instrumental in bringing Kobe on it, back on at Nike, and everything that all communications that involved Kobe Bryant went through Nico Harrison, went through Rob Pelinka, they have a good working relationship. That does not in any way, shape, or form say, yeah, you get fleeced in a trade for an injured, and look, Anthony Davis is special still.
He's
31,
oft player.
Injured, and has been the guy who just getting over the hump.
One
is
of the five best
issue.
Defenders in the league. There's no doubt about that. But there's a chasm between him and Luka. And the crazy thing is, we've got audio from Bill Simmons and Kirk Goldsberry talking about like the transactional nature of this, of where it started and where they ultimately ended.
Yeah. And there's a week-long process. One of my sources inside the Lakers was indicating that the deal was bigger. And I think you guys were literally joking about this last night, that there were two firsts and there was Dalton Connect. And the deal got whittled down because I think Rob Pelinka was able to convince the Dallas Mavericks that Luka is a lot of risk.
Yeah.
You guys are right for trying to look at this way, because this guy, oh, is drinking or is whatever, his weight problem, whatever it is.
Luka.
So they were able to convince it. This was a weeks long process. That's another thing that came out today, is this right. wasn't, this was a, and Dallas
almost
started.
3.5 weeks.
Dallas started it, dude. This fell in Rob Pelinka's lap. And then he was able to reduce the outward Lakers assets to such. Dude, Mikal Bridges commanded 5 first round picks.
If you don't know who Kirk Goldsberry is, by the way, he was one of like the forefront guys on analytics.
Yes.
And he worked as a VP in analytics for the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes, he's
not just a basketball writer.
No.
He's a guy that I think worked for MIT, yes, and Sloan. The Sloan Conference and Harvard.
He has a PhD from MIT in geospatial recognition, I think is what it is. I can never remember, but basically he's one of the best data viz and math guys in the league. And he's one of the OGs in that space. And I'll tell you right now, that Spurs front office is loaded with people like that. It's what they do. They run a militant style organization. The people they bring in, the NDAs that they have to sign, it's absolutely insane. I've heard the same thing Kirk was talking about, you know, kind of falling out of this, is that the worries that the Lakers presented, and I think these are some of the worries that the Mavericks legitimately have, and that... Look, if you work in the league and you've been around long enough, you know that Luka's weight is an issue. But you also know that Luka does have a drinking problem. Like, that's a thing. And that's out there now, so I don't have to worry about, yep, you know, it coming back. But the whole Mike Finley grabbing a beer out of his hand thing was funny, but it was also...
Hey, bud.
Yeah, you have a real problem, and everybody else knows. Let's not have you. It's one thing for you to be like, have a beer bottle in your hand. It's another thing for you to have, like, a red Solo cup pounding beers following the game. But the other thing I was told was that, you know, that the Lakers spun this as they believe that Luka's Achilles is a ticking time bomb because he's had 4 calf strains on the same leg in the span of a calendar year. I don't care.
That does not mean you
call Houston and go get Amen Thompson, Reed Shepard, Jabari Smith Jr., and 3 first round picks.
Yeah, because this is where. It feels like Nico Harrison was trying to quietly do this so his asset was not suppressed, mm-hmm, right? In doing this trade in the way that it was, you got way less than you ever could have gotten for Luka Doncic. I mean, if you were to go to any other team, now Milwaukee is an interesting one. They did reach out to Milwaukee and Milwaukee rebuffed it. I'd be interested to see why that was, right? Why did Milwaukee say,
probably the same reason why you don't trade Luka Doncic. You don't trade the face of your franchise.
And so it would have been, they wanted Giannis?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
But if it was Dame...
No, but they wanted...
I mean, if they would have said, yeah, we'll take Dame, but, I mean, you already have Kyrie down there. But if it was straight up Luka for Giannis, no. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that right now.
Why wouldn't you?
Because...
Here's the thing.
Because of what you just said. Like, it's your franchise
but
player.
If you're thinking about basketball-wise, you're worried about Giannis leveraging a move out. Mm-hmm. That's been, like... The one thing that everybody, so, God, I hate even getting this now. The Luka stuff, I've mentioned this before. The Utah Jazz being the third team, and this is so funny. Because, why, Dusty? What have I told you a million times? What were the Utah Jazz loading up for?
I don't know.
Luka Doncic.
Oh, Luka.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, we've talked about this.
Oh, I don't remember that.
This was what they were loading up for. That's what Danny Ainge was waiting for. The Denver Nuggets were hoping that they could find a way to pair those two together. There's a couple teams that basically were just like in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, yeah, that's... But OKC is also the team that is rumored to be waiting for Giannis. And they have all the assets in the world for when he asks out. And so when the trade happens, I originally thought, oh my God, Luka asked out.
Yeah.
Like that was the deal there. And I was like, what on earth is happening here? And they end up being the third team in this. It's like, but if you're looking at purely basketball reasons, why wouldn't you consider moving Luka for Giannis if you do have a fear of them changing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think you have to genuinely consider it. And the idea that the Lakers had to like, oh, you know, we have to consider this. Shut up. No, you don't.
No,
you don't. Not even for a second. The fact that they played coy is insane. Beyond that, the fact that they were able to get this down from AD to first and Dalton connect to Max Christie and not even their best first.
I cannot.
Is insane. It's insane.
I have some really good friends in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have no friend that is as good to me as Nico Harrison is to Rob Pelinka.
No. No.
I mean, I feel like I have some great friends in my life, and I love them dearly. This is mind-blowing.
There's still so much to parse out of this.
Including Nico Harrison's press conference where he had to face the music, kind of?
Yeah.
We'll get to that. This is Danny Dusty. Here's Rust with SportsCenter. We're talking Luka Doncic heading out of Dallas and to the Los Angeles Lakers, because it had to be the Lakers, of course. A guy who's been all over this. Have you seen the Chandler Parsons, everybody's favorite basketball player here in Portland, Chandler Parsons?
Hey, gotta love him.
He's been all over this story, though. Mm. He was like saying that like Luka was like crying and was distraught over this, and he like had just bought a new home in Dallas, like $15 million
home. Yeah, no, seems... I can confirm through multiple people in Dallas that Luka had no idea.
He had no clue.
No clue.
Like, within the last couple of weeks, a brand new $15 million home.
And, like, as much as, like, you want to talk about, this was a surprise, blah, 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 there were four total people on the planet that knew this deal was going. It was Nico Harrison, Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, and the majority owner for the Mavericks. Those are the only four people in the world that were in on these discussions.
We don't buy a LeBron hat anything.
I know. And that's an interesting thing we can talk about later. Has Rich Paul been neutered?
Ooh.
Because his two biggest clients were kept in the dark with one of them being shipped off in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yeah. Anthony Davis. Yep. Oh, by the way, Luka posted on his IG a screenshot of his call log. It shows 11 calls, 10 missed calls from Nico, and then one call accepted at 3:06 a.m. from LeBron James. So it's just showing Luka doing this. It's showing, oh, I knew he was calling me between 2:05 a.m. and 3:12 a.m. Nico Harrison tried to call Luka Doncic 10 times.
Mm.
He picked up the LeBron call.
Mm.
That's funny. I think I got on that. I think that was Centel, not Central.
Probably.
Damn it. I got on that. My bad.
It's believable.
It is believable.
It's believable.
It is believable. I got got. But, my bad. Yeah, hand up. We get got sometimes.
Both Ramona Shelburne
I
and...
I went back and I looked at
that's
that.
That's okay. It's okay. It happens. Ramona, that's why I have those accounts all blocked. So they can't, even, they can't even pop up for me. Like, even though they're sometimes funny, I don't ever want to see them on my timeline.
It seems like it would be about right, though.
Yeah. No, no, for sure.
Damn. Got got. Hand up.
Ramona Shelburne and Tim McMahon both have that LeBron James was not made aware. He was out at dinner. And
really?
Both him and Rich Paul both found out separately. Danny Ainge, who was in the deal, didn't know what the deal was until 30 minutes before it went up. I had somebody I talked to that was privy to this before it went out. And he goes, we just sat there and stared at each other for 20 minutes waiting for it to drop. And I was like, Did Danny basically beg to get in on the deal?
No.
Well, no, he did, but it didn't matter. It was done.
Yeah, he didn't know. He just wanted some assets. See, I like that about Danny Ainge.
Well, no, he wanted to get in on the deal because
they
negotiated all that he knew. Literally all he knew, he was helping facilitate the Lakers getting below a certain line with the Jalen Hood-Schifino deal.
Yeah.
That's all. He was like, oh, they must be doing something like relatively big. Like, but he probably thought Jared Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent for Clint Capella or something along those lines.
Because he's in it for a couple of seconds and some cash going
out. Look, he's
out.
A crack addict. He's like, you got any more of them seconds?
See, that's what I like about Danny Ainge, for God's sakes, is that he was willing to just be a part of it. And now he didn't know he was going to be a part of history and a footnote in history. And Danny Ainge now... part of two of the biggest blockbuster trades in NBA history? Think about that. I mean, he didn't facilitate this one at all, really, with a couple of seconds. But Danny Ainge, now a part of the Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis trade, and, I don't know, sending everybody to Brooklyn and getting all of Brooklyn's picks. Paul Pierson.
That was pulling the plug on old guys.
I know, but those... that deal to this point was probably the biggest deal in NBA history. Think about that.
This is the Herschel Walker of the NBA.
This, but without this one is.
Yeah.
How? But they didn't get the assets.
But
though.
The assets have got to be part of it. The Lakers. The Lakers just getting the
just
best. Absolutely hoodwinking. I don't, for Nico Harrison, we were already up against it, like for his press conference, what he said, for everything to come true out of this, you had to have gone to like the top of the mountain and had the three women sharing one eyeball out of the Odyssey type stuff to see the future, because your roster doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, even if Anthony Davis is the guy, your roster makes no sense. You have one guy on your entire team who can dribble, pass, and shoot, and he's 32 years old.
Yeah, because they're looking at, well, you got Max Christie.
You have one player on your team who can dribble, pass, and shoot, and he's 32 years old.
Your starting five is going to be Kyrie, Clay, PJ Washington, Anthony Davis, Daniel Gafford. Coming off the bench, you will have Dwight Powell, Najee Marshall, Dante Exum, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Max Christie?
Mm-hmm. Because right now you've got, you know, two centers and three power forwards. You're going to play PJ Washington at the three, Klay Thompson at two, and Kyrie at the one.
Maybe they're not
for all of the defense that you have none on the perimeter.
I still can't. Can we revisit something here really quick before we go? There was a lot of the Blazers got fleeced in the Dame trade.
They may have absolutely crushed the last star trade in the league.
I think this one is definitely getting fleeced. This is what getting fleeced looks like.
We haven't even got to De'Aaron Fox yet.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot there. Yeah. We need to get to Nico Harrison's audio, and we'll do that because, boy, that was head-scratching, to say the least. Danny Dusty on the Fan. After trading away the team's star in Luka Doncic to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, Maxi Kleber, I'm spacing on that third piece that they got.
Sending
Luka Doncic,
Markieff Morris,
and Maxi Kleber to LA for Anthony Davis, Max Christie.
And the 2028 first. They didn't even get the best
29. Yeah, yeah.
The 2029 first. They didn't get the 2031 one. Yeah. Which,
why is that one better than 29?
It's further out. You just gave him Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Like,
he'll only be 29 by the time
I had a Knicks fan ask me the other day if I was the Blazers GM and the Lakers came and offered me the 2028 first for Tumani Kamara, would I do it? And I said, absolutely not. And there's a reason why. It's the same thing I said about my Miami Heat. Their picks matter significantly less because stupid stuff like this just falls in their lap because of their geography.
Yeah. And just one mind-numbingly dumb decision. Like, I cannot.
But that's what I'm saying.
I can't believe it.
The luck that they have is just insane.
Well, here's what Nico Harrison had to say after it looked like Luka died in front of the Mavs arena.
Yeah, no, they held a protest they had a coffin out there. It looked like when a Premier Soccer League team wants to fire one of their managers. Like, the only thing they didn't do was fly the plane over with the messaging, but give it some time.
I mean, it honestly looks like they have his jerseys, they have remembrances, they have F the Mavs signs. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, it's a whole deal where it's like, did he die? No, he's alive. Just in L.A. Here's what Nico Harrison had to say to the fans of the Mavericks.
I'm sorry they're frustrated, but it's something that we believe in as an organization. It's going to make us better. We believe that it sets us up to win not only now, but also in the future. And when we win, I believe the frustration will go away.
Okay.
I get being tired of Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And here's the thing. Over the next 72 hours, you were going to hear about a lot of things Luka Doncic related. They're going to empty the notebook, as it were, to CYA. Which is what happens when you trade a guy like this.
Burn it down, baby.
If you think that that's going to be amicable.
Well, I think I also believe that is why you're seeing Luka's dad be so harsh on the organization. Mm-hmm. While Luka's farewell message was so well curated.
Oh, missing the Mavs.
To the fans, mm-hmm. North Texas, how much it means to him is because they're also in damage control on this, mm-hmm. too. Because to a star player in that orbit, it is a slap in the face for your organization to trade you like this.
No,
when you're not asking to be traded.
And that's the thing we're talking about with the whole idea of it, you know, changing the paradigm, as it were, was as it pertains to Rich Paul and Clutch.
All right. Now Nico Harrison on Anthony Davis. Mm. And does he fit with what they are trying to do?
Well, I think the long term is the time frame. I think he fits our time frame. If you pair him with Kyrie and the rest of the guys, he fits right along with our time frame to win now and win in the future. And the future to me is 3-4 years from now, the future 10 years from now, I don't know. I don't think they probably bury me and J-Bud in, or we bury ourselves.
Yes.
Oh, it's reassuring.
AD is talented.
How does Luka not fit in 3 to 4 years? So it's not like you're waiting for him to develop.
Real quick, how old is Luka Doncic?
Oh, 25.
3 to 4 years, he's 28 to 29. His literal prime.
He's been there for 7 years.
Anthony Davis is 31. In 3 to 4 years, he will be 35 and 36.
Now, I will...
Because it'll be 32 very shortly.
You mentioned that this Mavs team doesn't really make sense.
Makes no sense.
But they kind of do... Do they make more sense than the Lakers do now?
Oh, God, yes. And the Lakers, they are in the market for a big, and they are in the market.
Is that Dallas could have had both of those first-round picks, and the Lakers would have been screwed, and I would have been like, hey, way to go. If you take both of those first-round picks, go ahead, trade Luka. Like, they would have had no ammo.
Well, what the Lakers would have done was strung out a year, and then some star would have been like, hey, make sure you have that salary spot, and I'll fill right in, and you'll have two stars, and then they'll find a way to fill out the rest of the
right now, this is the Lakers starting five. Austin Reeves, Dalton Connect, Rui Hachimura, LeBron James, Jackson Hayes. Now, Luka will be obviously sliding in there.
As soon as the calf heals.
Is right. But you're sitting there and you're going, okay, where are their bigs?
They don't have any.
And that was the big thing heading into this. And then you trade away the guy who was playing the best. And look, if you get Markieff Morris, okay.
He can't play.
You get Maxi Kleber, injured.
Injured.
like, you don't make sense either.
No, neither of these teams make sense. And everybody's like, well, the Mavs can make a run, but it's like, do you want to?
All right. Well, did Luka not fit the Mavs? That seems like a good follow-up to Anthony Davis fits what we're trying to do.
No, listen, one thing about me, I'm not going to talk bad about any players. Like, that's not going to do, you know, us or me any good. I just say there's levels to it. And there's people that fit the culture, and there's people that come in and add to the culture. And those are two distinct things. And I believe the people that were coming in are adding to the culture.
Max Christie, big culture builder.
Mm.
Anthony Davis, who doesn't think of his leadership when you think of great leaders in basketball? Okay. I think that he said, I'm not going to say anything negative. That's about as bad of an endorsement you can give a guy's leadership.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything bad.
Luka is, that's what they were missing. And I think that's what they feel they'll never get over the top. Because if you look at the meltdown that happened in the NBA Finals, you look at meltdowns that have happened with him emotionally during games, like they just are basically saying, we don't feel he had what it takes between the ears to get us over the hump. So Anthony Davis is?
Yeah.
Or Kyrie, handing it over to Kyrie?
Oh, God. Well, that's you know, it's worked out for everybody else. Certainly it'll work out for them.
Well, you know, there's one thing that will always be the big indicator in a trade like this.
I don't do anything that's scary. I think everything that we do, we put a lot of work into it. We study it, and we restudy it, and we go back. And I understand the magnitude of it. So the easiest thing for me to do is do nothing, and everyone would praise me for doing nothing. But we really believe in it, and time will tell if I'm right.
You really put a lot of work into it. Again, what are the reports? How many teams were in discussions to get Luka Doncic?
One.
Okay. Doesn't seem like putting a whole lot of work into it.
That seems like the easy part.
Yeah.
Because if you were actually willing to do that, you would have called Oklahoma City. You would have called Houston. Like, you're telling me you wouldn't rather have
all them picks.
Jalen Williams plus another young player plus seven first round picks?
Yeah.
Like, Houston, and again, Amen Thompson, Reed Shepard, Jabari Smith Jr., and three first round picks. Like, you're the number of teams you could have called to get something done here.
There is something that he said, and it directly correlates with Portland.
Hmm.
He said it right there, and I think that's where we need to go next. He said, the easy way would have been for me to do nothing. I mean, think about that. He's not wrong in saying that.
No.
The easy way would have him just stay the course and go.
Yeah, for a team that went to the finals last year.
But think of how it pertains to this team here and how frustrated we have gotten over the decade that we had with Damian Lillard of nothing being done. Danny Dusty on the Fan.